I'm just glad to be with you all. Thank you for hooking me up, Jenny. I do have some very special people here. My mom is in the back row, and she's the big cheerleader. She's praying for me right now, and she's just awesome to have here, and I just appreciate everything she's done for me. And then I have my sister-in-law here, and my nieces, and my sister, I said sister-in-law, sorry, my nephew's wife, and my nieces, and my sister from Mexico, and you know, it's just fun. Now, I have to tell you about Emily. Do you all know Emily? Okay, you all know Emily. I have a women's conference called Beautiful, and every fall, if she's missing from church, she comes to Beautiful, and she is a very loyal, dedicated girl. She loves just to be with her aunt and support me, and then she'll make her brother, or her dad and mother come down south. That's how I get to see them, because of Emily loves God and loves to hear about the things of God, okay? So I'm so appreciative of Emily. And T, I don't know why I'm just feeling real sentimental about you and Randy, but just today I cried with Randy because I thought he reminded me of my dad. The older he gets, he kissed me on the lips, you know, and I'm like, and I liked it, I felt like I was getting kissed by my dad, and he was just, the older he gets, he's going to get better and sweeter for y'all, okay? And so I was just getting choked up by, I feel his love, his father's love. You know, isn't that beautiful? And then T, let me tell you about T. T is the sister-in-law everybody should have. She's a soft, one time she came to my women's conference, and you know what her prophetic word was? Mine was like, I was a red, like a race car, and I'm all this crazy stuff. Hers was. And I was like, how come I can't have hers? She was a peach soft cushion for people to, you know, and that people would come and they would be nurtured and loved by her. I want to be a peach soft cushion. I don't want to be a car, you know, but that's T. And what I appreciate the most about T is that she's really honest about where she's at in life. And we've had so many conversations, honest conversations, that we've both shared our failures, our reality, our weaknesses. And, you know, if you want to change, the first thing, way you change, is acknowledgement. And that's T. I've never seen two people ever go to more marriage conferences than them. So we're just all watching how they're doing it. And she and my hair, they're going to another one. I'm like, how does she get her husband to go to these? You know, but she's a soft cushion. So see, she has a way with him. You know, so it's a beautiful thing. And we've just prayed together and loved each other for a long time. So I liked her right away. You know, I picked her, I think. I don't know. But anyway, gosh, that took me longer than I thought. Just all that chit-chatty stuff. I want to start with something funny. And so you can put up the picture of my grandbabies. When I go speak, there they are. When I go speak, it's the funniest thing. My daughter will call me right before it because I'm thinking, oh, I didn't put anything funny in. I want to start with something funny. And she'll call me and she'll tell me, these are funny people. I don't know how they got so funny, but my grandchildren, Briella is 2.5. They look the same size. She's 98 percentile. She's big German girl like her grandma. And Gavin is 4.5, and they're like the same height. They look like twins. He's 26 percentile, and she's 98. Okay. So my daughter and my son-in-law, they live in Memphis, Tennessee, and they're worship pastors for a multi-campus type of church. And they're very busy with what they do, and so their children are in child care, and then they're home a lot with them because they have very strange schedules, but they're in the ministry. And Sarah called me and said, guess what, Mom? She goes, I picked up Briella out of her classroom, and the teacher said, I got to tell you what Briella said. And she said, the kids were all sitting down, and we said, why do you give your tithes and offerings? They're asking 2.5-year-olds, why do we give our tithes and offerings? And Briella, she's very, she's kind of loud, and she wants to have attention. So she raised her, because to pay my mommy and daddy, and because we love Jesus. And so the teacher had to tell her that. It was just so cute. And Sarah's like, we have never talked about this, that we pay. I don't know where she's getting, you know, but somewhere along the line, she figured that out. So then she goes that same day to Gavin's room. And the teacher said, see, these are kind of loud children. They're both very loud. She was hoping, she named Briella. She wanted to name her Haven. But I wasn't feeling it, but I was being quiet about it. And then all of a sudden her husband said, I don't think she's Haven. I was like, no, she's not Haven. She's not peaceful, restful. I just wasn't feeling it. And Sarah didn't really want another, you know, child that, ooh, you know. But so they called her Briella. So she's Miss Behaven. But she's not Miss Behaven. She's Behaven. Okay. So we had to clarify that. But I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, she so went to Gavin's room, and the teacher said, oh, he said the funniest thing. She said, you know, he's number one child, and my son-in-law and my daughter are both first children. You put two first children together, and they have a first child? Oh, my gosh, he has to have his ducks in a row. So he patted the teacher. They were playing bubbles, and he loves bubbles and all the different wands and stuff. And he patted her on the shoulder, and he told her, you're doing a really good job. But he was being very nice about it. You're doing a really good job, but there's a better way. That's Gavin. So he does. He knows a better way. He's very organized. And I had to ask him one day, what is the better way? And he took a big wand and he whirled his body around. And I was like, wow, that is a better way. You know, so girls, what I'm going to share with you is there's a better way. There's a better way. And sometimes we struggle and we struggle and we're saying, God, where's the better way? And I'm just going to share with you some processes that God's brought me through. Not that I have arrived. If you're my relative, you know this is true. But there are some things that we know and we can do and steps that we can take. So it's really kind of fun. So I have a teaching here that's a little different than I normally do. And I've kind of been doing it all summer. And it has a lot of props to it. So just bear with me. I don't normally preach with or teach or whatever I do, share. I think I'm a storyteller. I'm not a preacher or a teacher. I think I'm a storyteller. But I'll just tell you that I was raised in Minnesota and on a farm and went to country school, walked in the cold Minnesota winters 3 miles uphill both ways, and that's not lying, and on cold winter days for 5 years of my elementary. And I had two brothers. Okay, I have a brother, Randy. Now, he's kind of like Gavin. He's got his ducks in a row. He's kind of a professional at everything he does. And then I have a brother that's just strong and goes for it all. And then there's me. So I'm 58, 57, I'm 56, and then this baby, 53, over here. And so we were all kind of close in age. And I remember, like, my brothers went skiing. I went skiing. I was so close to their age that I hung out with the boys. So I could ski forward and backward and skate forward and backward, roller skate and ice skate, and, you know, rode their snowmobiles and motorcycles and whatever they did, or swam across the lake. I mean, we just crazy stuff, ride horses. So I was kind of a tomboy because I was hanging out with them. But they didn't think I was very good. They called me barbed wire. I think I was a pretty good boy, but I tried to be. I'm pretty tough. And you know what was so great about the farm, growing out in the farm? I have grit. And have you ever read the book called Grit? It's an amazing thing. And you know what? You can't almost go back and get it. So I'm so thankful. I know I have grit. I can do hard things because I already did them. You know, if you're watching the Olympics, who are you going to? I mean, I love the United States runners, but if I'm going to pick between the Nigerian that's running across a desert with no shoes and the USA guy sitting in the Marriott, I'm going to pick Grit. You know what I'm saying? He's built. And so I'm thankful for where I came from. I'm thankful for Grit. And even like when I got saved, my mom came to pick us up from BBS one time, and I just loved what the lady had to talk about missionaries and just loved God, and I just loved what she said. And I remember thinking, I raised my hand for salvation, and when she came, I asked Jesus into my heart, but I said, I will even go to Africa When I got saved at 7 or 8, whatever, I did not just get saved. He became the Lord of my life. And I never wavered from that moment. I remember that spot. I remember that lady. And my mom was waiting on the curb, you know, when I ran out there and my brothers hopped in the car. And mom said, "How was VBS?" And Randy and Rod, they said, "Well, she got saved again." And it was just like, you know, I was so dark. I was felt so sad, and I had just gotten full of light. I had just gotten saved. And right away, they just squelched that. And it was sad. And I thought, by golly, that is the last time I'm ever getting saved. I'm done with the getting saved. And that stuck. I probably had gotten saved several times before. I had a little heart for Jesus, you know. So I was done, and the light was on, and I, you know. So anyway, but that's just, you know. And then, you know, I love my mom and my sister, but I didn't really fit in the kitchen. You know, like they would crack an egg, and then they would throw it in the garbage, or they would sew a seam and they would iron it. Well, I came in, I'm not, you know, all that. I'm kind of that, you know? And so I would just crack all the eggs and make all the flour and make a mess. And they were like, "You are so sloppy, get out of here." So I don't know, I didn't fit in the girl world. I was too sloppy. And I think my mom sewed my dress for 4-H that I won a blue ribbon for. I don't think I sewed an inch of that. And then the boy world, and really, you know who I really, really probably was my person? Was my dad. He was a lot like Randy, was my person, was my dad, but he was gone so much. So, you know, I wished I could have had my own person. They had their persons, but I was kind of felt a little lonely. Like, where's the violin? So, but anyway, so I just want to give you a little reference there, okay? And here's the thing. I didn't feel very beautiful because I wasn't very beautiful. A boy pushed me. And there was a rail off of a dock, a metal rail, and I chipped my front tooth in fifth grade. And back then they said, "We can't fix your tooth until you're 18. So I had half of a front tooth. That's pretty. And my dad liked short hair. So I had mousy brown pixie and a half a tooth. And I was as tall as I am now when I was 12, a size 10 foot. It just wasn't pretty. I had a big birthmark right here that, well, when you get older, you can remove that too. So I just wasn't very, and you know, I did cut up. My mom kept saying, "Walk up, stand," because I was trying to be shorter, you know. So I wasn't very cute, but somehow I wanted to be Miss America. I wanted to be Cinderella. Those were the two shows that you watched. We had those that came on. I wanted, and mom would send me up to go get the mail, and when she would do that, I had my bib overalls on. Who knew if I had a bra on? I don't know. But I would take my time, and I would walk, and I would have my roses, and I would wander on the gravel road like this. "Here she comes, Miss America. Here she comes, your ideal, the hopes of a million girls." And I would sashay and imagine that I was beautiful. Imagine that I was Miss America. And then I would go back to my reality. That then, so when they offered to be to our hometown, Cokato Corn, we just were at the Cokato Corn Carnival, they said, "You can try out to be the Cokato Corn Carnival." I was 18 years old. I think I'd gotten fixed up a little bit. And my mom and my sister really had to work hard on me walking and doing right. And so I tried out. And I won that thing. And so, anyway, we were just there celebrating. But I knew how to hoe corn, how to breed corn, how to tassel corn, how to husk corn, how to can corn. I was really the corn queen. I had been in all of that. So, anyway, but I did, I think all of us, I had grit and I was a good boy. But all of us, even if we feel like sometimes we don't fit in the girl world, I really kind of was pink inside. I really wanted to be cute and pretty and a girl. And I would take my mom's 50s clothes, and it was in the 70s, and try to make them look like maxis, kind of like groovy, you know. I did the best I could. And so But anyway, let me get to what we're talking about. I'm really having fun here, aren't I? Okay. So, anyway, this represents, you know, my life. It can represent your life too. And Jesus comes in, and we're doing all good. And I gave you that little background to tell you that I did have Jesus, and I love Jesus very much. I toured Wisconsin with Carpenter's Tools one summer. That was a big tour. All these churches all around, and God had touched my life. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, going to Oral Roberts College days. Didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, so that changed my Carpenter's Tools time. All of a sudden, people were getting saved everywhere we sang. Because we weren't offering salvation. They just were getting saved because the Holy Spirit had come on me and changed me. And I felt the power of God on my life. So that was a really neat season. I went to Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, because I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about laying hands on the sick. I didn't know anything about the Pentecostal. I was raised fundamental, and it was awesome. It was an awesome upbringing, but I didn't know about the other things. So I went off to college. But and then I married, and I had a couple kids. But, you know, I was carrying around just a root system. I would say it's like the innermost part of your being. I was carrying around with me. I'm doing something. Well, my necklace is doing something. A ball of root of rejection, of abandonment, shame, insecurity. A lot of stuff was in me, and I knew it. I was in everything. I was the captain of the swim team. I was the queen. I was the, you know, president of FHA. I was in Carpenter's Tools. I was in campus. I was in all that stuff, and I was trying to not feel like that ugly little girl. I was trying to prove myself. I was trying to say I am somebody, and I was doing all those things. And God was with me, and people were being touched, but I really had developed this. And I was, is the scripture up there? Or Isaiah? I was going to make sin black. I always thought about sin as black. This is your sin. This is your stuff. And then I was reading the scripture. I had even bought a green shrubbery that I was spray painting black. And then I went and I looked. I have to come down here. I looked back at that scripture, and it says, come now. This is what we're going to do tonight. We're coming now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they're very alive. This stuff was alive and growing. See how this looks? Very much alive in me and very much controlling my life. Though your sins, where are we? Be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And, you know, when you get saved, you know, your black turns white. But I was a Christian girl walking around with a lot of baggage, a lot of entangled hurt feelings, bitter feelings, angry, just insecurity, and didn't feel like that great about myself. I was faking covering over it pretty good, I thought. You know, I think my husband pretty much knew. He had a little handful, and I was given a very good husband that tried to, you know, he loved me, but, you know, I really was. And when I was 44 years old, and some of you babes know this story, when I was 44 years old, I was singing on the stage. We went to a bigger cathedral, a bigger stadium thing for 12,000 people, and I'm 44. I was one of the oldest singers, so I was feeling insecure about being old. I was about 40 pounds heavier than I am now, and so I'm old, and I'm fatter, and I'm, you know, I'm just that insecurity, you know, was there, and I saw these young girls that were dancing. We had girls in harnesses that were angels, and the demons were doing warfare in this one particular song. And I'm in this singing group, and it's this rocky song. It's an Evanescence song. This girl's kind of been in Christendom enough that she wrote a really amazing song. And we were singing this song, and the words were, wake me up inside, bid my blood to run, before I come undone, bring me to life. And I had to sing that for a week and they were recording us in the back of the house, and I was being careful because I didn't have these inner ear monitors. I didn't know if I was on pitch or not. It was just difficult. I was getting old for doing what I was doing. And all of a sudden, they said, we got everything we need. Just let it fly the last night. And I remember, and I was in this group of about 10 singers, and we were rocking like this. And I remember yelling it out. I said, wake me up inside. Bid my blood to run before I come undone. Bring me to life. I want to live. I was so sick and tired of faking it. So sick and tired of living in it. And I'm telling you, something happened. It was like when I said that, it was, God did something supernatural for me. It just yanked out, and I felt it. It was literal intervention. He hurt me. And the next day, I got up, and I knew, I was like a crack almost. I got up, and it was like, you know, I had gotten a pair of glasses for the first time. It was like the sun shiny, rosy, I don't know. It was like the world. I didn't realize. I knew, but I didn't know what degree. As a Christian, I had lived with a dark, heavy cloud over my head. And I was free. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I hadn't lost a pound. I hadn't stopped sinning necessarily. I mean, I didn't change other than I was alive. And I said, I don't know what to call this. I said, I'm fully alive. For the first time in my life, I was fully alive. Free, free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I drove around. It was like, and I called it beautiful. It was not about the outside. I didn't matter. If I lost a pound, didn't matter. I looked. I was in this euphoric, for about a month, this euphoric state. It was like, I guess I didn't do that. It was like amazing. And then I went to a meeting, a church staff meeting, and, somebody wasn't too happy with something I was doing, or I didn't feel that. And right away, and as I'm getting to my car, I could feel that heaviness wanting to creep back. And it wants to entangle you again. And I remember cranking up the radio. For some reason, there's country western on. I don't know. And I cranked it up so loud, and I went, no, 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 no. I can't hear. I am free. Whom the Son, I am not going back there. I want to be free. I will live free. And from that point on, have I gotten dark and light at all? From that point on, I had to work at it. And so the big ball was gone, and I had a great fear that I, angry, insecure, that I was going to start, this was going to start balling up again. And I wasn't about to do that. So Dr. Phil, the psychologist, said to drive out one thing, you have to drive in another. So I thought, if I keep pulling up my weeds, I was working at it. And it was working. I was meditating and asking God to help me, and I believe in it, and asking me and helping me to rework some stuff. And I was pulling them up as fast. And my husband even say to me sometimes, when I was angry or something, he'd go, why don't you go into your office and do whatever that is you do and get yourself fixed? Because he knew if I got with God and I meditated and listened, God would tell me what was wrong. And then I would get free, and I'd be a happy girl again. So I was good. And I thought this was Dr. Phil's. I thought that this was the answer to drive out and that I would never have. And it was all good and fine. I was better. But I was working at it all the time. And then I started hanging out with some girls, older girls, seasoned girls. I was asking them to pray for my conference. And they started talking about liquid love. And I'm like, what are you talking about, liquid love? And it almost seemed like it solves everything. We just got to pray liquid love on those people that are evil or liquid. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I felt like God said to me, we went through a real hard season. Our pastor fell, and God just, he put cement in my legs. I just felt like God helped me, helped my husband, and we're the old ones on church, and we've got it kind of reassured and established. And I thought we were doing really good, and my conference has been going for 12, 14 years, beautiful babes. It's all over the nation, been going for quite a while. I thought I had my marriage. I've been married 36 years. I have two children that love God. I have a son, too. He lives in Tulsa, and he has an awesome wife that's in the ministry. I have two awesome kids. I thought I was established. And he said, I want you to establish yourself this year. I thought, okay. And I didn't know what that was. But as I was hanging out with the older chicks, I realized I needed them. And they started, because, you know, something would come up and I'd be like, you know, flailing. I thought I was established, but I was all be over the place and have to get with Jesus for a while. And then they started praying for me. They started loving me. They, you know what I loved? That they just, I called them today. I texted several of them today. I said, pray for me. I know that they're not judging me. They really love me. They really believe in me. They believe in everything that I do. Whatever I'm doing, they're with me. That's awesome. That's the body of Christ. I've been in the body of Christ a long time, and I've been leading stuff, but I never had been established. And in getting established, I've been in the Word. I've been established in the Word, and the Word is awesome, and it would help me when I'm shaking. But God was saying, I want you to get rooted. And so I would call them, and these women, sometimes they would just be something else. They would tell me the truth. Barb, you know, we love you, but maybe, you know, you're mad at somebody. You know what one of my gals tells me? I want you to forgive 20 times. Every time you think of that person, I want you to say, I forgive them. And she's messing around with me. You don't get to do that. You don't have, no. And then on top of that, you know what she tells me to do? You bless them. You ask God, how could I bless them today? I had a year of an enemy that was vicious. A year and a half ago, I had the most vicious enemy I have ever had that wanted to take me out of my job, lie. It was horrible. And you know what? I was just reading scripture yesterday, and that stuff happens to you so that you can be proven to be genuine. It wasn't fun. I hung in there. I kept doing everything that I do, knowing she was talking to everybody about me, and it was evil. And it took, she's so evil, it took her a year and a half. One day in a Bible study, she came, and I could see her waiting in line to talk to me. And I thought, she might be apologizing after a year and a half. And she came to me and said, what I did to you, you did not deserve. I thought, you have no idea how much damage that caused. So hard. It's the hardest thing I think I've been through in all these years of ministry. Evil. Evil. But it proves you're genuine. And in the process, guess what? I had my little old ladies. I said, I got a really bad enemy. Would you pray that I don't kill her? Because I just heard another thing that she's saying about me. It was evil. The enemy wanted to take me out. And I was about getting close to going. I didn't know if I was going to make it. But they kept loving me. They kept saying, Barb, you got to love her. You got to pray for her. You got to bless her. I gave her $100 and she looked at me like, what was I doing? You know, you got to. Yeah, that, you know, it was just, you know, hard. And finally, she did go to the pastor and say, I was evil. You know, it's just, but I had to go through a long season. Sometimes you have long seasons. But these girls, they loved me. They believed in me. They established me. And I started acting like them. They are sassy and they know God. And I started having liquid love, and it was fun. And then I could, you know what? I started taking other girls with me. This is how we whip. This is how we nene. And so, you know what? The more you're established and rooted in love, and the more you got people that are there are good people. There are good Christian people that, sorry, I'm making noise here. But I can go out here now. I can come to Wisconsin, and I can whip, and I can in it. I can whip, whip. I can, because I got people that really believe in me, people that really love me. And you know what? You can, if we got a whole bunch, we got a whole bunch of women that really get it. This is my goal for women's ministry. Women can be crazy. I actually used to say, I really didn't have any problems with this girl. I used to think, oh, I really get along with my women are great. It was just a matter of time when I had her. You know, I really handled them all pretty well, you know? But then, you know, and God's timing, sometimes he allows things to happen. But I'm telling you, the more people that are rooted and established and grounded in love, and then when they get tangled up, then when the winds blow, it's like you're a tree planted by the rivers. If you're a whole bunch of river trees by the river and you're all entangled, your roots are entangled, what's T? Are you going to fall if I'm all entangled with you? No. Got all entangled. My sister said she had cancer. Well, no, she didn't have cancer. We said, no, we're not going to do that today. No. I got her at her house in Mexico, and we tied her up. Well, actually, I started pushing her. I started pushing her around, and she had 65 women. I said, you don't love her. I'm pushing her around, and you aren't doing squat. What are you doing? I thought you were rooted and established and grounded in love with her. And she thought I was going to push her. And she's like, you were pushing me. I said, yeah. And then her women got in tight. And I said, I'm not praying for you. Your women are praying for you. And they prayed like crazy. And she was healed. And she didn't have cancer. But if we don't love each other, if we're not rooted and grounded and established, I can't do anything without my chicks now. And I love it. And I go everywhere I go, I call them and I tell them what I'm doing. I can't get here. I can't stand on your stage today without my girls, without my women. And you know what's so fun? We are seeing so many girls set free. We have a prostitute that just got married to the neatest guy in church. And she is whipping and nay nay, and we are so proud of her because we shored her up. We loved her until she got it. And she's like, all the other girls are going, how did you do that? You know what I mean? We want that too. We're like, well, you better do what she did. She got tight with us. She said, I will come to Bible study. I will change. I will grow. We have a lesbian this year. That she is awesome. She just gave her testimony. She sends me a devotional every morning. She is so rooted and grounded with us and in the Word. She is sending us out because the Word keeps her where she wants to be in God. And she's going to do both of these girls. We're like, oh, watch them whip and watch them nay-nay. I mean, we don't even. And then once in a while, I have to get way out here where it's really hard, some hard things. God will have you do hard things sometimes. And, you know, and you have to do the stanky leg. Do the stanky. And you know what? Sorry, Emily, I know this is corny. But you know what? I can't do hard stuff. I can't go to Haiti and sweat in Haiti or Africa or places because it's hard. There are things that are hard. And I'm glad I have grit. Even with grit, I can't go out and do this stanky leg unless I'm connected. But if I know God's called me to go and I have the right motives, I can do hard. And I like it, actually. I kind of like hard, you know? It's kind of like, you know, are some of you athletes or anything like that? You know, at first you think you don't want to work out. And then later on you get kind of sick because you think, oh, I really like this feeling, like sore the next day because I feel like I did something. You know, that's you get sick after a while. It's like you want to be challenged. You want to be challenged. I want to be challenged by the women that I'm, and you know what? If you're not going to get rooted and established, we got a lot of love. We got a whole lot of love for a whole lot of women. If you will come and get rooted and you'll get established with us, we got love. We'll love on you. And if you want to change. But you know what's so fun? This is the answer for this. Love. Love. love is the love sounds so like, oh, love. Love is the most powerful thing. It's much more powerful than hate. It's much more powerful than anything. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, this is like new wine. I was that girl saved. All of a sudden, I'm feeling white. I'm wearing some white up in here. And I feel like I got some new wine. The new wine is liquid love. And I'm like, okay, God, if I got some new wine, I'm going to have to get a new wineskin because the old ain't going to work. So help me. Help me to change. Help me to get a new wineskin so I can hold this. And he is. He's helping me. I can't be the old girl and think that this is going to flow and this is going to work. It doesn't work in the old. I got something new. But I'm going to do a little twist that I've not done before just because I was feeling like the Holy Spirit was going. I'm kind of going to go back to that step right there where I was pulling stuff out. And I'm going to read my devotional that I had August 1st. Sorry, I'm snotting up here. Nothing can separate you from my love. Let this divine assurance trickle through your mind and into your heart and your soul. Whenever you start to feel fearful or anxious, repeat this unconditional promise. Nothing can separate me from your love. If you know the love of God, and you know, I knew God loved me, but I didn't. No, he's crazy. These ladies help me to know it through physical persons, but I know he loves me. Most of mankind's misery stems from feeling unloved. In the midst of adverse circumstances, people tend to feel that love has been withdrawn and they have been forsaken. This feeling of abandonment is often worse than the adversity itself. Be assured that I never abandon any of my children, not even temporarily. I will never leave or forsake you. My presence watches over you continually. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. I like that tattoo. It's on his hand. He is so crazy about you. Emily, he's got you. Emily. You're right here. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm crazy about you. Isn't that beautiful? It's the most beautiful thing. And, you know, when we go, should we just take my necklace off?
Well, I kind of like it.
Take me apart.
All right.
Take me apart.
Uh-oh.
My cot.
I'm sorry.
This is love. This is okay. Love right here.
Can I have it?
You can have my necklace. Oh, she really is having fun. I love you. No. You know, he really will never leave you or forsake you or abandon you. And you have to know the love of God. You have to be rooted and grounded and established. And it's something that you have to do. You know, like Randy has his accident. And the accident hurt, but remember I was saying sometimes the recovery is harder. Randy said the rehab was really, really bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, the original stuff that happens is bad, but, you know, we have to do some of this pulling up, you know? And you have to have your shins hurt, or God allows you to go through evil people really being mean to you sometimes to prove that you got grit, that you are hardy, that I love thinking about that. I really love God. I really went through something really hard and I really made it through and I really love him and I really know he really loves me. When you go through something really hard, and you know, that was a year of my life, and I'm starting on another thing right now. God has. And I was sitting down doing my meditative. So there's seasons of things that now there's a new one. There's a new one. That's kind of a long one, but it's true. There's a new one. I was sitting down and talking to him about it. And you know what he told me? It's going to take you a year. And that was kind of bad and kind of good. It settled me in and go, ooh, I am going to be working on this for a year. It's going to take me a year to undo this one with God loving me. But he will never leave me. He will not. And then when it's done, it will be wonderful. I will have been proven, you will be proven genuine that you love God enough to deal with the stinky junk because he loves us enough. And if Randy had had that accident and said, I am not, actually this happened to me just the other day. I was at a prayer thing about healing and a lady came up and they were showing how to lay hands on people, get healed. And she had some shoulder issues. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, she needs to do her rehab. And I didn't say anything because I wasn't really in charge. I thought, okay. And so afterwards, and she seemed sweet and everything, they were working with her. Afterwards, I went to her and I said, I don't know if this applies to you, but I feel like you need to do your rehab. And she changed her little face. And she did not like that. And she, all of a sudden, was not so nice. And she goes, well, I didn't like it. It hurt. And they were making me do it, and I just decided I wasn't going to do it. I can tell God, I am not doing that. That's going to take me a year, and that's going to hurt, and I do not like it. I can do that. You can do that. Or you can go ahead and work, and it will be painful. It's painful. It's a process. And when you get done with this one, if he loves you, he will give you another one. And that's what T and I love to talk about. We love to talk about, you know, but we are going from glory to glory. And you know what? Actually, you know, I felt like he said to me when it's going to take a year, he said, he didn't say this. He didn't say, then you can whip a nay-nay, but that's what I thought. He said, then you can start. I thought I was already started. I thought I was already established. He's saying to me, Barb, if you won't do this work, if this chick is never going to do her rehab, you know what I said to her? Could you do 5 minutes? And then maybe the next day, 10 minutes. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Maybe that half an hour is killing you. I love you. But the reality, and God loves you, but the reality is I have got to do the work this year. And I am looking at August 1 looking pretty good for me. Because I am willing to drink that Jesus did. Drink that, whatever you got, that cup. We want it just to be all nice and fluffy, don't we? But there, you know what? You got a choice here, don't you? I had a choice that I could just let this big old thing stay in me all my life. And the freer I get, the freer my children get. They see me. They're watching me. And the freer my grandchildren get. Isn't that fun? Do you know what? I'm going to tell you about my little Briella. My sister thinks I have the prettiest grandbabies of anybody because she doesn't have any of hers yet, so she knows she's got some time that she can make me feel good. But I'm loving it. She says this all the time, that I have the prettiest grand. And so anyway, Briella, she's a songwriter. She's 2 and a half, but her mom teaches her how to write songs. So they're writing night songs. And she says to her mom, sometimes I'm just amazing. Sometimes I'm just so amazing. That's what she says. And Sarah starts laughing because it was just so cute. And she goes, we got to call BB and tell BB. Because she knows BB thinks she's amazing. And so they call BB. And I say, that is right. Because she is going to be a big, tall German girl with big feet. And she's going to be loud. And boys may not necessarily like her because she's going to be bossy. She's going to be all that. She is awesome. And my job as BB is to say, you go, girl. There's going to be enough people in her life that are going to beat her up. She's going to have enough things that are going to say, but BB will never do that. Bebe, we are kind of alike. And it is pretty fun for this old girl here. Then all of a sudden, this little creature comes into my life that is just me. It's just so fun. I was talking to my cousin, and she was saying, you know, I didn't tell you this, but she was saying, you were good for your mother because you were so bad. It really caused her to have patience. I was bad. I was mouthy, and I was like, And so here comes this little Briella, and she'll just be on the phone, FaceTiming, and she'll say, just a minute, Bebe, I've got to get in my microphone so I can sing to you. And she's all that. Now, she's going to have enough people that are going to push that down, but she knows she can call Bebe. And so the next day I called her, and I said, Briella, you are just so amazing. And she goes, sometimes. So she knows, and she is, and she will be. And I am not letting any devil in hell bring her, and I am going to help her not to do that. We got an enemy that is telling us girls, we can't whip a nana, we can't be loud, we can't be soft, we're all very different. T, I could be jealous of you, she could be jealous, we're different, but we're awesome. And I'm not going to put you down for being so sweet. Okay, and don't put me down for being so loud. No, we love each other. We get a kick out of each other. I think you're so amazing. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? We're girlfriends that are supposed to cheer each other on and get, and if you're going to sing on Sunday morning, I am going to pray for you. If I'm in your church, I'm saying, I'm getting up in the morning, I do this, I bless my pastor and his wife, and I pray for them. And I say, God, help them. I am tied up. I'm in this house. I am with her. I love her. She is cute as she can be. She's my pastor's wife. And I wouldn't say bad about her. I'm going to defend her till the day I die. I am a believer. See what I'm saying? How different. If we get a bunch of girls, how are we going to change the world, girls? By being rooted. And we do not, this is Kardashian, okay? This is crap. I didn't say that in church. That's bad. It's really bad, okay? So I'm going to have you guys stand up. I'm going to have you guys do a couple things here, okay? Because I think I'm winding it up. Okay, turn this off, God. Might be somebody in here that doesn't have the light of God in them, the start of God. So I want you guys to close your eyes, and if you got in here and you're like, I have no idea what this girl is talking about, this red stuff and yarn and white, I don't know what she's doing. But you know that the Spirit of God has been here tonight, and you've never made that first step and said, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be saved. I want God, I want his liquid love to flow all the way through me and cleanse me. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. If anybody's here, I don't know. Might not be anybody. Is anybody here that just says, this is my day of salvation. This is my day. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? That's beautiful. It's beautiful. How brave are you? Do you want to come down here? How brave are you? Come on. Come on. I'm going to pray with you. How come you're so brave? How come you're so cute? I am so proud of you. I am sitting here rejoicing. What is heaven doing? You. What's your name?
Kathy.
Let's all pray with Kathy. We're going to say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. And save me.
And I accept
Jesus as my personal Lord.
As my personal Lord
and Savior. From this day forward, I will serve you.
I will live for you.
And I will be with you
in
eternity.
Amen.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Amen. Are you guys proud of her? Why don't you clap? I am super proud.
Thank you. Thank you.
She smells good too. I'm so proud of you. Look at how brave you are. I just feel like doing a dance. Do you want to whip a nay-nay with me?
Yeah, I'd love to, but I don't think I can.
Okay. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Wow. You could go sit down. The rest of you stay standing up. Wow. 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 How cute is she? And she smells so good. What is that? I need some of that. Okay, this pleather jacket is not working. Okay. Some of you were like me. Junk. And you know you got the junk. You got the junk. And the junk has got you, and you fight it, and you just need a major pulling out tonight. And it's by faith. I don't know why God did that so supernaturally for me. But I've been going to girls, and I've been going places, and this thing looks rattier the farther I go. I've hauled it to Mexico. I've hauled it in my little bag ever. But sin is ratty, but it's very alive. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he hates you. He hates you. And he would like to just, you know how, it's like cancer. Then this look just gets all entangled everywhere, messes everything up. Messes your marriage up. If you're insecure, it messes your marriage up because you're all messed up, and then he gets all messed up even more because you're all messed up, and it's just, you can't even help get him free. You've got to be full of, you got to be rooted and established, because guess what happens? Then your old boy that you're married to starts looking better too. He does. He says, ooh, she's a little different. Kind of sassy, kind of cute, kind of clean, kind of white, kind of happy. They like, you know what, guys, the number one thing guys want from women? They just want you to be happy. If you're happy, they're happy. They're pretty simple. So how are you going to get happy? I'm so happy to... Okay, that's another song. So who? Who here? I'm coming up here, you're coming down here. Who wants to do this work? Anybody want to uproot? Is there anybody here? Come on. Come on if you want. Is there anybody want to uproot? We're going to just pretend we're pulling it out. Anybody brave enough? Come on. And it didn't have to be a big root. You know. You know what your root is. Hey, I know what I got to work on. I know what I've got to work on with God. And T, look at this. This is T. How do you get free? Have you read So Long Insecurity by Beth Moore? Step number one, acknowledgement. Who's going to get free? The ones that acknowledge, I'm not free. Come on, baby, if you want to come. Come, if you want to come, come. So, look at, it's your cute pastor's wife. I love that. That's awesome. I go to my altar all the time. I used to not go to my own altar. And I started going. I started saying, I went to youth camp. I counseled 12-year-olds. And I'm up there at the altar with them, just as if I were 12 years old and I need to surrender to Jesus. And I did. We will never have surrendered. We will be surrendering. I'll be 120 on my deathbed, and he'll say, I'd like to work on that today. And I'll be like, okay, you got about an hour. Let's go. It's the reality. But you know what? For the ones that will surrender and get rid of it, and you can't have both. You can't have both. If you want to flow in liquid love, this is really getting fun for me. I'm not angry at people. I'm like, oh, honey, you just don't have love, do you? You poor little thing. You're missing some love here. You know, I see life differently. Or I'll say to myself, you better get some love up in there. And you better, if I have to say 20 times a day, I forgive. I love. And God, how can I bless them? How can I bless them? What can I do? And sometimes it's not even a phone call. It's just saying I want to bless them. And then your heart shifts and you do something different in your heart. That's beautiful. This is so fun. This is so beautiful. Okay, girls, ready? I'm going to do the real one. Want you to pretend. Step on the roots. Step. And then you got them ready to go? And I'm just going to have you say what I said. Because it was violent. The violent take it by force. You got to want it. You wanted it. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? I was sick and tired. I was sick and tired of it. I don't want to be ugly anymore. It's meant not meant. You weren't created to be. You're created to be beautiful. Created to be really beautiful. And you know, you think you can hide this stuff, but it comes right out of there. If you got this, it comes right out of there. If you got this, it comes right out of there. I can talk to somebody about 5 minutes. I know. You pretty much know, don't you? And sometimes we have some of both going on and we're working on, so I have some of that too. But I want the majority of this, and I'm going to keep pulling on that, right? So, okay, you ready? I'm going to just say it like I'm going to say it. Okay, are you ready? When we say yank, we're going to yank, okay? Okay, wake me up inside. Bid my blood to run. Before I come undone. Bring me to life. And pull it up. Pull out the root. Just, it's out. Get it out. You don't want it anymore, do you? And when you start feeling the junk, and you fight. You fight with everything, and you say, no, 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 no. Turn the red. No. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. I am being rooted. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to think what the Word says. I'm going to call a godly friend and see what she... And I'm going to say, if she says that I'm nasty, I'm going to say, I don't want to be nasty. Tell me how to not be. I am... Okay? And then you're going to find there are people like this. I didn't know there were so many good. I like this. And I am building an army of this. And you build an army of this. And you, nothing will stop this church from growing. You build this and the women will come from everywhere and be like, those women are amazing. They love each other. They truly love each other. They're not talking bad about each other. They really are connected. And they have different giftings. And they're sweet. Why are they so sweet? They're different than other churches, you know? So, okay, you guys can go. Okay, T. I want your pastor's wife, too. I've never done it this way before. I don't know what I'm doing. But you guys lead music together. Music's really important. It's really important. You two bring in the presence of God in this house. And that was beautiful. It was really beautiful. Sunday, I'm tying you together. If you like, okay, I'm saying that's me because I want to be tied with you. Okay. Okay. And you too. Look at, aren't they pretty in white? They look very pretty in white. And I'm really getting them tied in tight. I'm choking them. Okay. Because it's really, really important. If anybody says anything about her, you tell them. Wait a minute. This is not godly. If anybody says anything about her, that's my pastor's wife. And I go to this church and I love her. And I'm rooted and I'm grounded and I'm in the Word and I'm with her and I'm for her. And then, you know, let's tie up some other things here. You two are going to get... A lot of them want to be tied up with you, I'm sure. They do. So, you guys, the rest of you come here. Because sometimes these two are... Sometimes they're getting pushed around. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when these girls get pushed around? And somebody says, I don't like that song. Who picked that song? I don't like that song. I don't like that key that they're doing that song in. And she didn't want to wear nylons tonight. Oh, my gosh. She can't even be safe. She doesn't have nylons on. What kind of pastor's wife is that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to hold her up. Okay. So I want all of you, I'm saying, they're still moving around. You have not connected with them. I am the enemy. If I can pull them. Okay, now get in here, girls. Okay, now I want some of you to lead out. I want you to pray for this church. I want you to pray for this pastor. I want you to pray for these children in this church. I want you to pray for these families in this church. And I want you to pray for this pastor's wife and her husband. And I want you to pray for this location. And God wants to do some stuff. But you got to be rooted in God, okay? So I am not going to be here. You are going to do it. You be rooted with her. Who's got liquid love? Pray it out. Amen. Okay. We have one more little thing that God has a special word for each one of you girls. And you, they're kind of tied up, but that's good. They need to be tied up together. Hannah and Emily, did Emily leave? Okay, are you coming? Or are you? Okay, Betsy and Hannah, I want you ladies to go and get a prophetic word. And there are all kinds of different prophetic words, and the Holy Spirit's going to land it right perfect for you. And these are words that my women that I'm roped up with have written, and I trust the Holy Spirit and I trust them. So you're getting a handwritten word from my ladies, and you're getting a bracelet, and they're all different. Holy Spirit's going to give you the bracelet you're supposed to have and the word you're supposed to have. Now, if you just blow that off and go, oh, well, really? It may be, well, really. But if you go, God, whatever I get there. I had a lady at my conference. She did not like the word that she had in her seat, so she moved to another seat. Guess what? She got the same word. So you can just be the way you want to be, or you can yield to the presence of God what God wants to say. So I want you to get your words, and I want you to go find a quiet spot. And if you have any nice little music you have, come on, put on. Not whipping in it. Nice. I'm sorry I said that so much. I don't know why I say that. Okay, but we want you to get your cards. And then I want you to read it and just pray over it and ask God, what does this mean? And then I want you to get with somebody else and share it. And that's all we have for tonight. Okay? Are we good? Okay. Love y'all. It's good.
Thank you.